This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Transgender Point of View is an Australian news and current affair panel talk show.
Airing weekly and hosted by Joy 94.9.
Transgender people come from every region around the world, racial and ethnic backgrounds and faith communities.
Chances are that you've met a transgender person, even if you don't know it.
But there are still many misconceptions about trans people.
And as a transgender person, there are a lot of questions asked of us every day.
What's this about using they as a pronoun?
Isn't letting a trans person use my bathroom dangerous?
Do I refer to you as he, she, it, or they?
So what's your real name?
Are you a drag queen?
What's the difference between sex and gender, and why does it matter so much?
Did you have the operation?
What is stealth?
How does someone know they are transgender?
Really random questions.
Are you sure you're not just super gay?
You must be a transvestite.
What bathroom do you use?
Will I be able to have sex?
What does cis mean?
This is Transgender Point of View News. G'day, I'm Taylor Allen. The story of Melbourne transgender woman Sandra Pankhurst has won Australia's richest literary prize at the 2018 Victorian Premier's Literary Awards. US-born Sarah Krasnostein, the writer of the novel, was presented the Victorian Prize for Literature in Melbourne for her debut novel, The Trauma Cleaner, One Woman's Extraordinary Life in Death, Decay and Disaster. It tells the true story of Melbourne transgender woman Sandra Pankhurst's life and career cleaning the scenes of violent crimes. Sandra Pankhurst now suffers from lung and heart disease and has seen more than her own fair share of trauma. Now runs an extreme cleaning company in Melbourne devoted to helping others who can't help themselves. Sarah was also awarded the prize for non-fiction. The US-born Krasnostein studied in Melbourne and now lectures in criminal law at Monash University. Hannah Mountie has made a visit to AFL House recently in the hope her Australian football saga is nearing its end after the AFL prompted her to make an impromptu visit. Hannah Mountie has been seeking answers about her playing future after getting small amounts of information via email and phone calls. Mountie has presented herself to AFL House 4 months after she was banned from the AFLW draft. However, it's understood the AFL is still yet to finalise a process to decide if Mountie will be eligible to play in the AFLW, which started its second season on the 2nd of February last Friday night. Mountie currently still has no answer from the AFLW. And a great way to cool off this summer comfortably, the City of Darebin Council has made the step forward for a transgender and gender diverse swim night to be held this month, a first in Victoria. The event is only open to trans and gender diverse, their friends, partners and families, and is planned for the 24th of February at the Reservoir Leisure Centre. That's just some of the news this week. If you'd like to know more of what's happening, get onto our Facebook page, TransPOV at 94.9. I'm Taylor Allen. Until next week, when everything seems like an uphill struggle, just think of the view from the top. See ya.
All right. So, Mama Mish.
Yes, Dean.
Last week, you quietly, very quietly here in the Joy Studios, had something to say, and you told me, and it was really exciting. What was it?
It's funny, you brought me in here going, I want to interview for something, and I'm going, what do you want to interview me about? it's funny. You know where I'm at when it comes to surgeries, and I'm not one to go and promote or talk about or any of those sort of things. And dealing with my own body, I've always focused on less is more. Let's see what hormones take my body and how my body marinates and you know, the estrogen blocking testosterone. And it's a long process. But for me, I let my body to do its need to do for the last 4 years. I'm nervous talking about this.
I know. That's why I wanted to do this and surprise you a little.
But I got approval and funding to get my top surgery done. So my breast augmentation. So I started transition at 36 and, you know, turning 40 now. And the only development I would have got, which most trans women would have probably be no different, is basically a B cup development. So
what does that mean? I have titties as well, but that's just because of laziness.
Yeah, but so going from being flat-chested and doing workouts and stuff, my chest was rather flat, to developing glands and the nipple enlarging and developing fat tissue there, but it didn't really develop as a normal cisgendered woman would have normally developed.
Yeah.
So for me, what has happened is I've only developed like a B cup, so it's not really much. But so for someone my width, so I'm probably about between a 16 and 18 band width, such a small boobs, I can't get a bra that fits me properly. And so if I go and get something with a band, I can't find something with a cup.
Oh, I never thought of that.
And so the problem is then it comes down to my clothing.
Yeah.
And it comes down to so many other things. And so for me to go and actually, because what you see on me now, you'd look at me and you really wouldn't know, would you?
Well, I didn't. And that's I mean, I'll do a quick tangent. We did a photo shoot about a month ago where actually in getting ready for the photo shoot, you took off your top and took out, I mean, what would you call them?
What, my boobs?
Yeah, your boobs. Yeah, your boobs. And I was completely surprised because I had no idea. There was no reason for me to know. Like, no. It's.
And there's
know.
A difference between, like, and there's that difference between man boob and the difference between small breasts. So, like, my nipple's been enlarged. It's an actual woman's nipple and it's more of a perky breast. And to stand there and then take that off, and then obviously my stomach's been gotten a bit bigger because of HRT, which I'm working on and working with a doctor around. You know, make sure you constantly check those things. But that's due to stress. So what's going on here in my stomach is due to all the stress and stuff I've had to deal with as a trans woman going through everything that I've done.
Yeah.
And the docs are like, look, let's just monitor that. Let's look at that. Let's try and fix that with diet, whatever. But this, I can't make it go anymore.
You can't control that.
It is what it is. Okay. And you look at like my family. My mom's got, I think she had like G cup, like tatas.
Yeah.
My sister's like just as big. And so here I'm with nothing. So I'm trying to go and put clothes on. I'm trying to find a bra that fits, and they're uncomfortable. But then I'm wearing something that's got a double foam stuffed bra in it right now. And so all I'm really doing is when I get surgery and get done, it's going to look no different than this. But it'll be me instead of foam. So being intimate with somebody and you take your top off, I'm actually not intimate with people because I'm not comfortable with that part of my body. I'm happy with not having lower surgery.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. That is what it is, and I don't want to go there. That's not my thing. But the top surgery for me, it's like, you know, I kind of want that to fit my clothes properly, wear a nice bra, and make me feel better about myself.
Yeah.
No different than most cisgendered women. Like, they'll have children who'll go and suck them dry. expanding, lowering. Mm. And yeah, the same thing there. It's just they just want to have that feel and be where they were.
How did you go about getting the surgery or getting even ready for the idea of getting the surgery here in Australia?
You know me, I call a spade, okay? And the things that have bothered me since day one is how we don't actually support one another. So in the trans community, there's very little support, especially the trans woman community. And I'm not trying to come across as abrasive, but my thing is I'm really big on trying to have that good mental health and doing the right things after yourself. But I said, well, why can't I just go to a surgeon? I'm going to go to a surgeon down here. No, you can't. They're not going to do the right thing. They're going to make you look horrible. They do a horrible job, blah, 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 blah. And I went and emailed around to several different surgeons around Melbourne. They all kept telling me to go back to one surgeon. They kept telling me go to there. And he charges double the cost. And what I've seen done on some of these other people that I've done...
Double the cost of their one?
Double the cost of what I'm going to now.
Oh, okay.
So what I'm going to is going to cost about $8,000.
Jesus.
And, you know, some of these other ones are charging double. And I go, that's wrong. That's totally wrong. That's not fair. And the doctor said to me, oh, yeah, we'll be there about an hour. For you, it's going to be about an hour and a half, maybe hour 45, because the muscles are a little different because you've got a man's frame and the muscles have been worked more. They're tougher, you know, doing gym workouts, things like that. So we're going under the muscle. And he said, so basically it's going to be more, so it's going to charge maybe a little bit extra, but not much. And I go, wow, how horrible is that? But when you think about it, there's so many trans women who are going overseas to another country to get it done because it's cheaper, but it's going to cost them about the same as what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And then the thing is, especially with trans women, our bodies actually, the research I've done, which I've actually haven't talked about until now with anyone, is that there's a higher risk of bleeding and because of, first off, the estrogen, the artificial estrogen, and second off, the the work that's being done there. And there's a higher chance of complications being a man's frame. I'm not saying I'm a man, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's funny because that's a conversation that, I mean, I've never heard it before. And a lot of people have talked about surgery, but that, yeah, you don't think about that really simple thing.
So be flying over there.
Yeah.
Getting that done with implants that aren't actually registered or actually Australian grade registered, just chucked in you, and then you come back. Like, that's not right.
Yeah. It's got to be... All right. Well, not it's got to be, but
we can have this conversation's real. This conversation.
Yeah.
We
don't have this is no, no, no. It's not a holding back thing. I was in tears, very happy tears with you in the middle of the Joy Studio, really quietly. I've never seen you that excited. Ecstatic in a completely different way. I've seen you joyful, I've seen you having fun, I've seen so many sides of you, but I've never seen that, and that warmed my heart.
Thank you.
What is that like?
I go through a day-to-day being spat on, being told off, being pointed out, being just basically no different than the freak show you'd consider back in like the early 20th century, you know, the bearded lady or... you know, the dragon man, you know, that kind of stuff. And then you look at the cost, $8,000. Like, that's a lot of money. I think of myself going, I'm still struggling with the idea of this kind of money going, well, I could do this. I could go and I could have, you know, pay for this. I could go do that. I could go put that towards something in a car. I could do, oh my God, my kids need this. Yeah. But you know me, Dean, I am the kind of person that if I had an extra $100 that's going to help somebody, I'd buy them a week's worth of groceries because I know that they need... I did it for my mom. I had an extra $100 in my paycheck, and I called my mom despite everything she had said to me in the early days. Mom, I know you're struggling. You know, I want you to use my credit card details. Go to Walmart and buy whatever you need. And so I'm that person. So yeah. $8,000 to spend on something for me
on
that's
yourself
selfish.
Is huge.
Oh my God. Like, I'm not that person. And I still struggle with that. And... to go and say to myself, okay, this will probably never happen. Look, I know what I'm done. I've transitioned. This is how I live my life. So I probably never will do anything like this. This is something I won't do. But you stand in the mirror and you kind of go, yeah, I'm not happy with how my body looks. I wasn't happy with myself before. And I'm still just not as happy with my body now.
Yeah.
But to be intimate with somebody and kind of go, to take my top off, I'd feel like I was lying. So sometimes I feel like I'm walking around lying.
Yeah.
People would expect me to not have lower surgery, but when I take my top off, you take your bra off, you're kind of going, I hope this is, you know, hope I'm not disappointing you. You know, it's really, it's hard. And
I mean, and that kind of a scenario is hard enough. Like, that's a whole other level. But it's actually hard enough when you're doing that with someone and you're feeling something and there's enough pressure there.
I know.
There's no reason to add to it.
But then they go and say, oh my God, this is actually really happening. I can actually feel more complete. This is more of an affirming thing for me as a woman. After everything I've been through and what I've done the past 4 years, the public speaking, the training, the radio shows, the aggressiveness on the streets, the loneliness, the divorce, the family attacking, you know, all this stuff and everything I've gone through the past 4 years. No wonder my gut's exploding. But to have this thing of going, I can finally feel affirmed in my physical gender it's a good feeling.
It's a great feeling.
It is. And I want to shout out to the world, tell everyone, but I'm also at the same time trying to be private about it.
Which is why I thought we'll do this and you can release it whenever you want or if you ever want to.
No, most definitely. I'm after you take snippets of this and use it as well as part of, and I think maybe what I'll do is I'll use it as part of an episode on my show on Trans POV because I think it's important that people do hear these things. And there's a lot of others out there who speak and think the way I do.
Is there support set up financially for trans people to be able... There's nothing?
We all talk amongst each other about how we can get our superannuations taken out. And because it's like this medical thing that... To be honest, the doctor was with me. He goes, there's got to be a... the doctor pulled out the book and he goes, there has to be a Medicare thing for this. There has to be. And he goes, oh, malformation? And he goes, yeah, if we try and do this wrong, they're going to go and probably investigate it anyway.
Yeah.
But really, it's malformation.
Yeah.
And I have taken, you know, my body size and the balance for going to buy a bra for my size and whatever. You know, there's got to be a Medicare thing for it. And they're really strict on that. But, you know, for my own peace of mind, my own well-being, it's really important. There's so many people who are 10 times worse than I am. Dean, you've seen it.
Yeah.
But there's none. As soon as you basically, you go see the psych, here's your letter. You pay $300 a session for about 10 sessions, 6 to 10 sessions, depending on who you see. And then off in the world you go. You got to go figure out to be, live as a woman, as the gender identity you identify as. And so the kids are lucky. They got their moms there, if they're supportive or whatever, their dads. And, not easy, but at least they get some kind of support where I'm out there on my own. I've got to go, okay, now I've got to start work as a woman. How the hell do I do this? And so the support groups, and there's attempts at creating groups together out there, but people won't go near each other. They'll stay away from each other. We have so much internalized transphobia that I yell at some of our community when they see someone like you who asks the wrong question and go, how transphobic of you.
Oh, and that's been said to me, and I call a spade a spade. I have no harm in, I have no problem.
Most people don't.
I have no problem acknowledging when I've said the wrong thing, and I've done it on air.
I know you have.
And I make a point to, that's right, there's the episode of The Informer where I start the interview with accidentally misgendering the subject of an artwork, and that turned into a great interview where we were able to talk about gender in a completely different way to what we planned. But you're right, it's hard to sit here and say this now and go, you know, but you've got to give the room and space for people to make a mistake, because that's more work that a person has to do.
Yeah.
Like that's more work that they have to do within the framework. And I'm the person that makes mistakes. Whether it's with pronouns or with non-binary people, it's habit and it's accidental. And you know, you've got to remember what you feel when that's said is completely different to what we're saying.
Completely.
And it's so important to find a way to meet in the middle, but it takes both parties.
Exactly. And we need to find the way to come to the middle on this. But the problem is our own community needs its own help, and that's why I'm trying to have these more 201, more down-to-earth conversations with people such as yourself, such as Annie, such as whoever else I'm going to come in here as a great ally, because you get it, you're here, you want to help support, you're going like, how can I support you? And I'm sitting here going, I don't know how, I know how it feels to be a woman, I know I'm a woman, I know what I am, I know my truth, Dean. But to have the support of a wider community, and I come out and say, okay, I'm looking at my boobs done. No, we got this system that's set up that we got a woman over there. You go see her. You go see a surgeon there. She takes care of you, fly you back. You fly back and forth a few times. I'm going, fuck, geez, the cost is expensive.
Yeah.
And then you're not getting the proper care you really need. And I just go, why can't we talk about, like, why can't we find the right surgeons here? Why can't we talk about a better setting up programs that are around mental health, like doing yoga or Pilates or something we come together and actually find a balance, a sort of just, you know, whatever is it, namaste. and just to find, you know, even there's the days I'm sure you as a gay man, the things you got to put up with, even through all this marriage equality crap, you kind of go, I need a namaste night.
Well, can I just say, when you started talking about your stomach, do you know how much cleared within me to realize, oh my God, that's what's been going on with me for the past couple of months with everything that's been going on.
Family members with cancer.
Well, yeah, I have, but it's not just that as well. It's also with everything that we've been experiencing here, with everything that's going on within Australia, within, you know, the plebiscite, the transphobia, the homophobia, the biphobia. Like, there's so much, and there's such a collective anxiety. And to be honest, we already had it. Like, we didn't need more. And when you started talking about your stomach, I think a part of me sighed in relief a little bit, because I'm like, my God, like, it's not like, because I'm trying to eat differently, I'm trying to do things, and that's where all my stress is sitting.
I mean, I stand up, Dean. My stomach is now hanging over my belt. I've got stretch marks.
I've been wearing tracksuit pants for like 3 weeks.
I noticed.
Everyone does. You can't miss it.
but we're all in this space, and we need to find a way to come together ourselves. I don't care if we start holding yoga sessions.
Think yoga sessions, I mean, it's something you can do on your own. It's something you can do with other people. Collectively breathing is something so amazing. And it's the other thing as well. I mean, you and I are huggers. We hug each other. We're very physical with each other. But it doesn't mean we're physical necessarily with a lot of other people.
No.
But it's finding a way within all of this space for all of us to breathe and smile together.
But one of the things I find as myself, and it really hit home recently, was as a trans woman, I do get shunned a lot And so in the dating community, with just all kinds of communities, and I break down walls, and I've gotten to spaces that so many trans people can't.
You do more than break them.
Oh yeah,
you smash the door down.
And yeah, and and the thing is what I do is I find that I do hug people, I do shake hands with people, I do embrace people, but I feel like I miss being touched. I miss, and it's not sex. It's, there's this form of things where my kids touch me, I'll hug them, I'll do whatever, you know, somebody else will touch me, whatever. But it's those few friends I have, like yourself. I mean, we're not sexually intimate with each other. No.
But we're very intimate with each other.
We're very intimate with each other. And for me to come in and hug you, the way you hold me and hug me, it's something that I don't have or see or get very much. And there's times I just don't want to let go because, and there's a reason why so many trans people come across as, oh, hey, you know, very, very, like, yeah, very clingy as soon as, because we're not touched.
Yeah.
We're like Frankenstein's monster. We're really ignored. And it's really hurtful.
And what you've got to realize as well, when you're, if you do are feeling that a trans person is, or someone you know is being that way, you need to, instead of responding to them from a physical point of view, actually think about why they might, or even ask them why they might be feeling that way. Because sometimes just that moment and just that conversation can just allow a breath and a space to just make the balance of everything sit in a more equal way.
Yeah. And help your friend, you know, if they find that trans person is being maybe a bit too clingy, maybe a bit close, and they need the intimacy, or they need something, like, even if you see them strung out, hell, go to a yoga session with them, take them somewhere, do something like that, go to the park for a day and breathe, take them to a gym class with you. You know what? They're not going to be able to afford it. Maybe just,
you know,
just
what?
Pay the $10 and help them out.
A walk with somebody in the sun.
Yeah.
It's now, as this is the last day of winter, we are recording this on the 31st of August. So spring kicks off tomorrow, and yeah, find a way to create that space.
And I can see you and I doing that, you know, from this point here. I can see you and I catching up on a Friday, a friend finishing up or something, I got no kids, going for a walk that Friday night. So, you know,
straight
what?
Straight to we're red
gonna,
wine bottle.
But we need to start saying no a bit more.
I'm trying.
I know. Everyone yells at me too, Dean.
We do. But you know what? Let's get back to the important and exciting thing that this is about. You know, there's a huge
self-love
and exciting step that you're taking.
It's really, you know, 4 years, it's the next step. You know what's even crazier as I'm doing this? I'm going to rest it up. I'm going to do my thing. But then I'm going home to America for the first time in nearly 7 years. And I'm going home as more of a complete whole woman than I see myself. Yep. Then, and I'm sitting here going, holy shit, what am I saying? It's actually, whoa, this is crazy. this is even bigger. So
I can't wait. I want us to do another conversation before you go overseas because after the surgery, you'll feel a completely different way about going home.
Oh my God, yes. I will actually have a different perspective on so many things.
Yeah.
And you know, I've got such a positive perspective on everything as it is, but things will start changing even more so after that.
Because
I am so protective of my body and so protective of just me.
Of yourself. But you know what? You keep sharing your journey with everyone. You keep sharing what you're going through with so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes so much of a difference.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you.
Well, you've been listening to Dean and Mish, and we'll talk to you soon.
We always will.
Bye.
And thank you for listening today. If you do want to reach out to us, you can get us on email transpov@joy.org.au. You can also get us on Facebook, which is transpov on joy. You can get us on Twitter, transpov, or you can just come to joy.org.au and just follow up what's going on here at Joy in general. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.